Welcome to the Amateur Movie Review Hour. I'm Trevor. With me, I have Megs.
And hello. I have Josh.
Hello.
First and foremost, maybe some of you noticed, maybe some of you don't. We did not have a episode released recently because I made a technical error. I did not check before I deleted from the source, so there was no episode released last week, and it'll be released. This episode will be released soon.
So we will have an SOP ready for Trevor to go by, so he doesn't make these kind of mistakes again.
Checklists involved. Molly will be my second in command.
Yeah, second in command. She's gonna bark at you when you're doing fucked up things.
Before we get into our movie review of The Road Trip or Road Trip, did you guys ever see this in theaters, or was this the first time you had seen this movie?
I saw it in theaters.
Yeah, I did not see this in theaters, Trevor.
Okay.
I saw it on VHS video.
Makes sense.
From my video store. Yes.
Makes sense. Mm-hmm. Makes sense. I saw it in theaters because I was... what was this, 2000? So I would have been like 17. And,
yeah,
you want to see some boobs. Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. I was a 17-year-old kid, and I could see this movie.
Yeah, like, this is the first time I saw a guy get a finger up his ass.
Yes, it was,
and
too.
And he enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And curiosity was perked.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And I was completely unaware until I started writing this review that Todd Phillips was the director and writer.
Right.
And to see where he's come from, this being his first feature film,
uh-huh,
to what he's doing now,
right,
the Joker, in such a very stylistic and like really artsy movie,
mm-hmm,
this is where he started.
Yep, I know. That was pretty shocking for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And considering some of the stuff that he's been involved with from 2000 to like, mm-hmm, 2012, The Hangover, Hangover 2, Hangover 3, Due Date. No, I'm missing some of the others, but those are the big ones. And then he does Joker, and it just blows my fucking mind.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised when I saw that. I did not expect that at all.
I knew this was Todd Phillips.
Starsky and Hutch.
Yeah, yeah, I did
this was
not.
He was cutting his teeth with all this stuff, doing the raunch comedies, and he's really good at it. You know what I mean? He knows how to create that the ick.
Yes.
He was one of the icks in the movie. So,
oh, yes, yeah. He was, yeah.
I wonder if he's friends with Tarantino, though, with the feet part.
The foot fetish, yeah. I wasn't so surprised with the Hangover stuff.
Yeah, no, that didn't
In relation
me.
To this, and then later in relation, because the Hangover was so well done.
Oh, yeah.
And then in relation to the Joker, I could, you know, it's not like they really seemed alike, but I could see where, because the Hangover was so much... It was so much better written than this.
Yes.
So, but I could see where this could be a freshman work, and then he got better over the years. But to see this to the Joker, that's a huge leap, and it did take him many years. But at the same time,
yeah,
it took him 20 years. But at the same time, it is such a different kind of feel and everything. Everything else jibes with this that he's done.
Oh yeah.
To me, you know.
Yeah, I watching this movie, Road Trip, you see the beginnings of he likes the buddy movies.
Uh-huh.
Like he he just knows how to write them well. I don't want to presume that I know what, mm-hmm, he likes, but
yeah,
he does it well.
Well, The Hangover is a road trip movie.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just grown up for road trip,
sure,
for grown ups.
Sure. Yeah, it contained into, mm-hmm, sure, over the course,
yeah,
of the entire series. Yeah, it's definitely a road trip, mm-hmm, movie. Yeah. Yeah, it was very, very mind-blowing, as I said, to find that out. And to also find out that if some of his early stuff, with not being a like feature film, but a documentary on G.G. Allen.
Huh.
G.G. Allen was a very raunchy, I don't want to say raunchy. He was a face for punk rock. Or a punk, like the punk culture. He would perform shows. He would smash bottles on his face. He would like fling shit. He was very artistic. From what I've known and heard, I've not seen it in person, so I can never say what really happened. I've only heard through accounts being told. In order for him, or not in order, But he wanted to have a very unique, I think, movie poster. So for the documentary about G.G. Allin, so he ended up getting in contact with John Wayne Gacy to have him create a picture or something that was going to be the poster for the documentary of G.G. Allin. I am fascinated by that type of history, pop culture knowledge. So finding that out also blew my mind that he, through the weird degrees of things that he did, and he touched on a very a monster of America, you know, yeah. John Wayne Gacy.
I mean, if you look at this, so it's kind of all cyclical. His first two directing things were called Frat House and then the G.G. Allin stuff. G.G. Allin, of course, a serial killer. And what did he do?
No, G.G. Allin wasn't a serial killer.
John Wayne Gacy was.
John Wayne Gacy. Yeah. He's in touch with all those things.
Sure.
And then he makes The Joker, which is a, you know, uh-huh. a hot button. The next thing was called Frat House, which was about what it takes to, like, get into a frat house. And then we have Old School.
Yeah, yeah.
That's exactly what it is, you know what I mean? Road Trip, same thing. You know, college vibe, you know, yeah. the one we're about mm-hmm. to watch. Starsky Nuts. Then he just got involved with the Brat Pack, it seems like, at the one point.
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
then your Hangover movies. War Dogs, yeah. which was got some acclaim.
There's no Brat Pack.
In the Hangover, you know.
No, but in Old School and Starsky and Hutch.
Stiller, Owen, Farrell.
They're not the Brat Pack.
I know that's not the Brat Pack.
What are they called? They called something.
I don't recall what their name was, but I know what Josh is meaning. Where the Funnier Die crew, for a lack of a better term. Yeah. Like, you know, he was
yeah.
in there with them as well for
they called
just
him
those
some kind
movies.
Of a pack, though. I don't remember what it was.
I don't remember either. If you'd like to let us know at the amateur movie review hour at gmail.com.
Plug it, motherfucker.
But yeah, it was very fast.
No, they called him the Frat Pack.
Ah, okay, the Frat Pack.
So it was close to that. It was like Will Ferrell, all that group, you know,
the Wilsons.
Paul Rudd, the Wilsons.
I don't remember
Vaughn.
This.
Yeah,
Vaughn, yeah.
It's so weird.
He didn't do like a dodgeball.
He didn't do a lot of them, but they were dodgeball. Well, that was that would have been a Frat Pack movie, but that was more Stiller. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that was a Stiller film.
Yeah.
That was Stiller's film all around. He stole the film. He starred in the film.
Well, he took the character he'd already made and made it something else.
Yeah,
which was
from
great,
Heavyweights.
I love Heavyweights. Yeah. Oh my god! Yeah. I hope we get a chance to do Heavyweights because I love that fucking movie. All the fat children. Oh man, I can just go fucking ham on those little fatties. I'm a fatty right now, so I can say that.
Yeah, so that's what I found fascinating and interesting about this movie.
I think that's all. That's where it ends. Good night, folks.
What is the Amateur Movie Review Hour? Before we began our podcast, the three of us curated a list of approximately 100 movie genres. We then fed that list to a magical random generator that we use to provide us with a movie genre. The three of us take turns choosing movies to watch that fit into the chosen genre. We then watch that movie and attempt to return bi-weekly to review and discuss that movie. The only movies that we have banned are Marvel and DC movies from the past 15 years. I am not a professional movie reviewer. I just love to watch movies and then review those movies with my friends and you, my fellow screen fiend. All right. The title of the movie is Road Trip. The writers are Todd Phillip and Scott Armstrong, director Todd Phillip. The actors are Brecken Meyer, Amy Smart, Tom Green, Sean William Scott, DJ Qualls, Paulo Costanzo, and Rachel Blanchard. The release date was May 19th, 2000. Runtime, 94 minutes. Josh, why'd you pick this movie for movies based in a vehicle?
They're in a small bus.
Yeah,
that's my main thing.
He likes
about
the short bus.
I like the short bus. Okay. Short bus comedy is my thing, you know.
All right.
No, I like as Megan did. I also worked in the video store when this came out, and I rented it, and then I think I bought it, and I watched this a lot. Like it's like I barely needed to watch a minute of this, and I it all comes back to
you
me.
You just fast forward to one scene, and then you just played it over and over and over again.
Yeah, yeah. A finger in the bum.
I'm sure there were plenty of household VCRs that were burnt out because of that.
And this was VHS. It was 2000. Yeah. So, yeah. Uh-huh. Now, yeah. 2 years later was when the DVDs really started hitting. So.
Yeah, and even, yeah.
And even then, it took several years for us to get rid of all, you know, like, we were kind of in between. Yeah. We were doing both, and then they all disappeared probably by five, six.
I think five or six, mm-hmm. yeah. But, yeah, that was my reason for, it's a funny movie. Like I said, it's early Todd Phillips stuff. It has that same feel through everything he did, you know, kind of that little bit of gross humor. And also Tom Green was in it, and I was really into Tom Green at the time.
Yeah, that's weird.
His stupid MTV show.
Like I wasn't into it.
All these videos. Like, it was just, it was the beginning of weird comedy, mm-hmm. yeah. like in the 2000s, yeah. where then like Adult Swim started doing it. Like, everybody started doing the weird stuff where it's mm-hmm. like, like, that was the time, because you were like Harvey Birdman. What was it? What was the bug guy or whatever?
Oh, Brax?
Brax or something like that. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
That's when like late night television just started getting super weird, you know? I remember when I was like 12, 13, 14, you know, it'd be USA and you would watch Gilbert Godfrey and what was his name? Rhonda?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, that was their Up All Night movies. And they were just terrible, terrible, like, trash movies.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
it was entertaining. And it's kind of, this is like a reoccurrence of that that reminded me of that to a point where a feature film actually, like, you know, like, went, like, raunchy and risque to a point.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
and the cast is good. I mean, these are all names now for the most part. So.
Except poor Breckenmeyer, who just can't catch a break. Well.
I don't think.
No, he caught the break. He didn't go.
His problem is
he is the man with probably the most failed television series.
Oh, yeah.
He's had so many.
If you think
people, somebody loves him in Hollywood. They keep giving him these sitcoms, and they just keep failing.
Well, sitcoms, I will say yes. He worked out better as a voice actor,
yeah.
and pairing up with Seth Green, and then going on and doing Robot Chicken. Well, I don't know how much of it is Breckenmeyer, but Breckenmeyer is part of Robot Chicken with Seth Green.
I think the big thing was that he was just one of those guys that somebody really liked him, because he, right after Clueless, he was just nonstop pilot, you know, he was just doing all these pilots, and they just weren't working out for him.
What's the show with the servers that end up trying to be movie stars with with Adam?
Oh,
Party Down.
Yeah. Oh,
anyways,
wasn't Jane?
We could skip all that. Yeah, Jane.
Don't be a liar.
Jane Lynch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Megan Mullally.
Yeah. So that show, Breckenmeyer is in it. He's the one that tries to give him a shot with because he's there. They meet at a bar mitzvah or something like that, or bat mitzvah for J.K. Simmons' daughter. Yeah. And he's like, dude, I got, like, this is the guy for the part. I'm in the movie. I feel like Breckenmeyer was that character, was the, you know, the, like, are we having fun yet? You know, he did one, and I think he did commercials. So I feel like when the writing or something like that, he had something to do with it. Or maybe he told a story. Maybe he was a friend of his or something like that, to where he was kind of I think he was that character, in my opinion.
I don't know. He was only on one episode. I think they just let him be on it because they felt, you know, they're like, hey, it's Breckenmeyer. Let's give him a little piece.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, Breckenmeyer found his niche, and that was Robot Chicken and doing voices.
Well, it's just like Seth Green. He's never going to play a dad. You know what I mean? And that's
he also had a failed TV show. Yeah. Series. Yeah.
Yeah, but once again, and he went back to voice acting, but he had much better career as a voice actor.
He's been doing that for years. Yes, you know, like, he never left. Like, he stayed voice acting while he was kind of trying trying to get out there and do a little television series.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, that's what you do. Is when I believe that's what their occupation is about, which is going out and trying to make a career for themselves in acting. And a lot have fails. A lot of actors fail.
Yeah, Breckenmeyer just got more more opportunities than most.
Yeah, true. And as I think a lot of film followers and fanatics know, and sometime typecasting screws you. Sometimes.
Yeah.
Not going to say all the times, but sometimes it can pigeonhole an actor, and then they don't get...
Do you know what I briefly saw was just a smidget of the beginning of Keanu Reeves, the devil, the devil's my dad.
Devil's Advocate?
Devil's Advocate. So the beginning of that, and it's he's having the trial, and there's the guy. He's like, the girl's like up there. It's that one with the little scrunchy face, and she's like talking about how like he kept like fingering her or something like that. And the whole time, it's the guy that was the sheriff from my mind is just blank. True Blood.
Well, I didn't watch it too much.
And he's got like glasses. He looks like the perviest perv, like fucking molester sycophant. And he's just doing this like under the table finger motion while she's telling the story. And Keanu Reeves is just his head slipping back and forth. He's freaking out. But that guy, I feel like he did not get a lot of work in between that and that, because like you said, typecasting, you know, like you played a pervert. Now when any casting director sees people come in and they're like, weren't you the pervert in Devil's Advocate that was finger banging little girls? You know? You have to be a really good actor that can like kind of bring it about to get around that.
Who was the guy that played Bill in Silence of the Lambs? He's another good example of an actor portraying a type of character and not getting any good roles.
He starred on Monk for the whole entire run of Monk.
And that's where he made his resurgence, though, when he got on to
Monk.
Which
was about 7 years later.
He was in a bunch of movies in between, though.
Yes, he was. He was in a bunch of movies, but he didn't get any of those real breakout roles because of his association as he portrayed a serial killer.
When he was Mr. James Gunn?
Yes, yes, yeah. So it happens.
I think Ted Levine did a lot better than a lot of these other people. He's just one of those guys that I don't think people really recognized
him. I'm just giving that as just a broad example of that type of typecasting. And then sometimes individuals can break out of their typecasting stuff.
For how big that movie was, though, it didn't really propel his character himself forward to where it either brought it the same or maybe down is what it would. Yeah, what I would say.
Which one are you saying?
Ted Levine.
Oh, you're talking about Ted Levine.
Because what, after that, I'm just going to name a couple things up. You got Murder in High Places, Dead and Alive, A Race for Guns, F-A-R-A-C-E, whatever that means. Yeah. Oh, Gus Fares.
He was in Nowhere to Run.
The Paint Job, Nowhere to Run, Detonator. You know, these are all pretty trashy, stupid movies. Broken Promises, The Last Outlaw, The Mangler, 95, Georgia, Nowhere to Run. Which was a terrible fucking Van Damme.
That's a
show.
Nowhere to Run.
That's a show, yeah.
Did they?
He was a minor character in Heat. Yeah. Then he got Bullet, Wise Guy. So number one, he was always like that other guy. You know what I mean? He was never the main.
Look at James Gandolfini. It took him years, and he wasn't really typecast. He was just like one of those guys. It wasn't until he got a TV show that he made it. And
I
would
have said he would have been like your goon. You know what I mean? Like the henchman.
They were goons,
And then eventually somebody said, wait a minute, you have a little more to you.
Yeah, but he was still a goon.
Yeah.
He was a goon, but he was a goon with power, yeah.
He was a goon, but he was a goon in Get Shorty, you know? He was playing the same guy, you know? He was just the same guy in both movies. Oh, well, he was nice in Get Shorty.
Yeah, true.
It's Italian,
but he's still good. Yeah. lot of these guys, like Ted Levine's too big to be a leading character. They don't, like, he's a tall guy. Yes. And a lot of the shorter actors in Hollywood don't like to play with the tall guys. He's not going to get a really great role because Tom Cruise can't handle that. Sure. You know, like
if it was older times, like a Western, he was playing like the heavy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, then the older times, the Western guys, they were taller back then.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, look at the,
we have a Hollywood of 5 foot five guys now.
It's about the Duke.
Yeah.
Duke of Earl.
This movie's still hilarious. It's funny. Like, it's still hilarious. The jokes hold up.
You let Tom Green be Tom Green. Yes. That's all you did.
He was high at least for one scene that I know for sure when he's singing the fucking goose song or whatever. Yeah. He's completely fucking high. I can see it in his eyes. I know what being stoned looks like. Like he's high. He's high. You guys want to get into our spoiler-filled review?
It.
We start a new thing where we get iced on the first one.
We get iced?
Yeah, you get Smirnoff Ice and you just have to pound it.
Ooh. Can we even find Smirnoff
Ice? Did you get that from like a Fortune Feimster stand-up?
No, that's a thing. You never been iced before?
Why did you say
technically
you
when
say
you
fortune?
Get technically
that's
when
the
you
only
get
time
iced.
I've ever heard of ice is really? From a Fortune Feimster stand-up. show.
No, it's, we used to do it to each other back in the day. Just like you, if someone ices you and gives you a bottle, you have to get down on one knee and chug the whole thing.
I wasn't really part of the whole Smirnoff Ice phase. I mean, I guess Zima was coming out when I was a teenager. I wasn't old enough to drink, and by the time I was old enough to drink, Smirnoff Ice wasn't out yet. So it was kind of like I was in between stupid drinks. Sure. So I was just drinking beer.
We drank Zima back then when I was a kid. I think I was 17 somehow, but whatever.
Yeah, it was like
we put Skittles in it.
They didn't carry it, and I never went to a bar that carried Zima. Well, so it wasn't something I ordered in bars once I turned 21. It was something that you drank at home because maybe somebody had it.
We got it from liquor stores and had homeless people buy it for us.
Sure. You give them $5, say, here's some money for you.
Yeah.
Buy us some stuff, too.
I was buying the Keystone Light because it was only like $6.
Or Milwaukee.
For a 12-pack, yeah.
Oh, the beast. I graduated from, when I graduated high school, we went out and bought a case of Milwaukee Best. I couldn't get drunk. It was fucking horrible. I couldn't keep it down. I was like, this fucking sucks. Like, this is the worst shit ever.
No, if it increases by 2 degrees, all of a sudden it turns from like meh to ugh.
Because it's fucking malt liquor. That's what Milwaukee Best is. Yeah. Just fucking malt liquor.
Yeah.
Canned in 12-ounce bottles, and you can buy it cheaper than buying 6 fucking 24s.
And now for our sponsor, Milwaukee's Best.
The movie starts with Barry Manilow.
Just kidding, they don't sponsor us.
That Barry Manilow, played by Tom Green, giving a campus tour for potential students. Barry tries to BS about a library. He points out the psychology building and the English department, where he makes a pun at the potential students not needing ever to be there. A parent asks how long he's been attending school. Rightly so, because Barry looks 35. He's told it sucks. He's told that he sucks at giving tours. By Ethan Suplee. Some of you might know from American History X, My Name is Earl.
Mallrats,
Butterfly Effect.
My Name is Earl.
Yep. There's a couple other films out there that he's in. I enjoy him.
And he's the brother-in-law of Juliette Lewis.
Yep, that too. Yes, he is.
And the son-in-law of the late, great Jeffrey Lewis.
Oh, yes. He is. Jeffrey Lewis was a pretty cool man.
Yes, he was great.
One of the young potential students asks if anything cool ever happens at this college. And after being the butt of a joke again, Barry decides to tell the greatest story ever told that happened at the University of Ithaca that involves Josh Parker and his girlfriend Tiffany. So we cut to opening credits where there's old film footage while Barry narrates the early years of Tiffany and Josh. He narrates that their friendship has blossomed into a romantic relationship during high school, and further narrates that the biggest challenge of their lives lay before them, a long-distance relationship. Josh attends the University of Ithaca while Tiffany goes to Austin to learn veterinary medicine. But Barry says they made a pact, and that pact was that they would stay true to one another, talk every day, and support a magnanimous relationship. A monogamous relationship, not a magnanimous.
Totally not a magnanimous.
Except that was going to be much more complex than they had imagined, opines Barry. We crossfade to Tiffany, played by Rachel Blanchard, and her hunky boyfriend in Austin. Rachel tells her boyfriend that the sex was so good that she had to take 2 birth control pills. I forgot about that joke. It was great when I heard it. It made me laugh like it made me laugh right now. Tiffany is very aroused and begins to make out with her hunky boyfriend in the quad as students pass by, completely oblivious. Smash cut to Josh, played by Brecken Meyer. Disturbed by the dream, he calls Tiffany, but she doesn't answer again. After he hangs up, we find out that the couple also send videotapes of themselves to each other. That's a weird thing. I never recall knowing anybody who did that, but I also don't recall knowing anybody who was in a long distance relationship at that time who would be like, we record messages.
That's because this is a funnier version of a movie called Special Delivery where the same exact thing happens.
Really?
Yes.
Starring Reese Witherspoon
and Paul Rudd.
Was that later or was this before?
Special Delivery was before
because I think it was right after he did Clueless.
Okay.
Yeah.
While Josh is recording himself, he is interrupted by his friends, Ruben, played by Paulo Costanzo, and Barry. Barry is at once drawn to the constrictor snake, and I made sure it is a constrictor snake. It is not a ball python.
Nope, it's not.
And he will be drawn to that snake for the duration of the movie. It is actually, it is, what, it's the B plot in a way? Or is it the C plot? I think it's the C plot.
I would call it a C plot.
Because B plot would be... Beth trying to do what she was
Beth thing, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, there, whoa, and then there's the D plot with fucking Jacob. Oh, there's so many plots in here. I don't think so.
Not really plots, but I would say there are quite a few subplots. Yes. You know,
yes.
I don't know if you'd call them, give them lettering, but, you know.
True.
Just character development to a point.
Yeah. Josh is preparing his envelope so he can mail the VHS tape. Ruben reminds Josh that he has class. And before Josh leaves, he asks Ruben if he mail out the videotape once it is fully rewound. Maybe you're too young to understand that word. It is what we did to VHS tapes after it got to the end. You had to rewind it to get it back to the beginning.
And if you didn't, I was going to charge you a dollar.
That's right.
I didn't do that.
I know, because Blockbuster didn't care. They fucking slaved their guys. They're like, no, you rewind that shit for free.
We had like 8 rewinders going.
Sure.
Yeah. At one point we only had 3. We couldn't afford 8.
I would let them get through though. Like sometimes we're like, you're gonna get a not rewound movie.
I never sent them out unwound. However, I would make people wait. I'd have a big stack of the movies I was rewinding, and I'm like, oh well. Sorry. That was when we briefly got rid of the $1 charge. And we told people, we were like, no more $1 charge, and people took advantage. So I was like, I have a big stack, so we'll have to see where it is. I don't know.
Yeah, don't blame me. It's those people.
Big stack.
And Ruben acknowledges the request. As Josh runs to class, he is stopped by Beth, who is played by Amy Smart. Very young Amy Smart, too. Obviously, it's 2000. She asks if Josh will be at EL's party. And EL is played by Sean William Scott. He responds positively, while Jacob, played by the guy from Rent, stalks Beth. And I didn't put his name in here. I'm just calling him Jacob. But he was both on the stage and the film.
It's Michael Rapp.
That's Michael Rapp. He's the one who ruined Kevin Spacey's life.
Oh, nice.
Or he's one of the ones who's trying to ruin. He was in Adventures of Babysitting.
Oh.
He went to Porno Mag.
Ah.
Yeah, he's a little piece of shit. But at the same time,
he's got those fucking dead eyes.
Yeah.
dead eyes.
Yeah.
It's like he's related to a goat. Like he's got like those dead goat eyes.
Yeah, I did not remember he was in this movie.
Yeah, because he's that shitbag that's easy to forget. You know, that like, we're like, because you know it's in there, but it's so interchangeable, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, anyway.
You know, it's like, what was the Top Secret?
He usually plays a role that anybody could have played.
It's an exact fucking carbon copy of the guy from Top Secret. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just a little weasel fuckbag, you know, that's a teacher's aide.
Yeah. There's one in every movie. Some of them make the part great, and other ones are just, you know.
Josh.
Like Ethan.
Ethan.
Fun Ethan. You watch Slackers?
Yeah. Wasn't that fucking
Schwartzman?
Yeah. Jason Schwartzman that's great.
They made him the focal point of it. That's why.
Yes.
These guys are just everything else, they're just like, this little like.
Well, you had Devin Sawa, who I loved back then.
So did everybody.
I had a weird thing for him too. I don't know what's wrong with me.
We know what's wrong.
Those are the weird, these weird younger guys. I was like, what is going on? They're like,
pretty sure this hasn't changed
like
for you.
7 years older than I am.
Yeah, you're probably still looking at them young
boys. No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
Nah.
Well, what was the show you told me you watched? And you're like, I gotta go quit watching this. These young boys are just getting to me.
What?
It was like Archie, the new Archie shit.
Riverdale?
It was Riverdale. And it was the little boy from Friends. It was Ross's son.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, the little twin?
I knew he had a child don't remember the kid's face
it's
at all.
The twin. He was also in Big Daddy. What was it? Big Daddy with Adam Sandler?
Okay, Big Daddy
That would make, I know exactly.
He's a Nickelodeon child. He and his little twin brother. And I was like, this kid is really interestingly cute. And I'm like, I can't watch this anymore. He's old, young enough to be my child. He was a legal adult at the time, but I was like, I don't know why I find him attractive.
As long as you have consent and they're of age, it's okay, man.
Oh, that's gross. I think it's grosser for ladies.
look, there's a lot of ladies getting caught having sex with, like,
I'm seeing 15, that all over the 12 news.
12-year-old kids. I'm like, what?
It's these an epidemic.
Kids, these kids must be like, look like full grown men.
They do not. That remember really Mary weird. Kay Letourneau? She was banging a kid who looked like a 10-year-old.
Then
she married him, and he still to this day looks like a 10-year-old.
Well, it's true. I have seen him.
She is dead now, and he looks like a 10-year-old.
It's like whoever bangs Haley Joel Osment now. You know, it's like fucking still got the bowl cut.
No, he doesn't. He's just a little chubby man. No. He looks like a man.
He's got the bowl cut.
He looks like a little chubby man now.
So do I.
I think you're quite a bit taller than him.
Yeah, I am taller. I know that
I
for
wouldn't
sure.
call you a little.
You're right. Not little. Not little. We could take that out of it.
I bet like old ladies pay him to do like fucking Anakin, dress like little baby Anakin. And,
oh, good Lord.
They're dressed like, oh, what was his, Watto or whatever?
Quato.
Quato was the sting coming
Watto.
Out.
Watto,
yeah. It's like a whole scene, yeah.
Josh is in class as the professor explains that midterms are next week. Jacob, who is the professor's aide, tells Josh to stay away from Beth and that he is close to failing if he doesn't get a B+ on his midterm. EL and Josh talk about what he is going to do in order to pass his midterm. EL suggests cheating, but it's an essay midterm. I guess that means you can't just cheat off of somebody. I didn't go to college, so I don't know what that means. EL says fuck the midterm and come to his party where he can let loose and try to hook up with Beth. Josh sticks to his convictions about being faithful to Tiffany. Josh stops at a payphone to make a call. You can Google a payphone. I'm not going to explain it. Elle and Josh's dick discuss Josh's choices about sexual adventures. Carla, Tiffany's roommate, answers the phone. She tells Josh that Tiffany didn't stay the night again last night. Carla goes on to tell Josh that if Tiffany wanted to call him, she would call him. Now Josh is worried. We cut to that night at EL's party. Barry is in a room with two college women, all of them sitting on his bed. EL is an auctioneer of a date night auction for some of the female students that includes Beth. Jacob waves to Beth from the crowd as she waits for her turn. She seeks out Josh and asks him to outbid Jacob because Jacob is obsessed with her. We cut to Barry kissing one of the women on his bed. Once he's done, he directs the two women to kiss. Cut to EL asking about Beth, and she arrives. EL begins the auction. Jacob and Josh have a short bidding war. Jacob outbids Josh. However, not out of morality, but out of brotherhood, EL lets Josh win the auction round. Jacob desperately pleads his case to EL, who doesn't care because Jacob is a TA, not a student. Cut to the dance floor where Josh and Beth are dancing quite close. Beth is flirting hard with Josh. We cut back to Barry and the females rubbing each other's nipples. Yep, all of them are shirtless. We cut to Josh and Beth in Josh's room. Beth finds a card from Tiffany. And in turn, she asks Josh who the card is from. He tells her that it is from a girl that he used to date who had recently dumped him. Beth spots the video recorder, and before they can do the horizontal mambo, she decides that she will ask him interview questions. She removes pieces of clothing as Josh answers her questions. And once she is shirtless, she climbs onto the bed, and they become fully involved with one another. The camera zooms in on the handy cam lens and the red indicator light. We crossfade to Barry strumming a guitar while he sings about salmon in a stream to Ellen Rubin.
Tiny salmon.
Yes, it's just ridiculous.
It's Tom Green moments, yeah.
I don't know this. I'm only presuming it's probably improv.
Oh, yeah.
And I bet you there were probably a couple different songs that they're like, fucking go add for 15 minutes, fucking whatever you want.
I'll say this, you know, like it's so much, like back in the day you have to get a camera out. Put it on a tripod, all that stuff. Nowadays, you just get your fucking phone out.
Yeah.
Start recording someone just fucking... or whatever the fucking noise you want to hear. Just like that, yeah. Yeah.
Let me know if you like those sounds. I got more of them.
Yeah. We're good at making sex toys now. It's just because we do it so much. We're sex beings.
Josh bursts into the room... full of vigor. Both Elle and Barry are interested why he's so upbeat. So Josh kisses and tells.
Wait, this scene just really confused me. Where did he come from?
The door, the shared showers.
Communal showers.
So he got up and went to the showers, and then they all like went into the room and were, And that's when
I think Ruben lives there too.
Like, way too much stuff happened while he was gone.
It's him in Ruben's room.
Yeah.
And then he comes back in the room, and then he nods at the camera, and then they're like, "Oh, we got to see this." But then the video isn't the other video because.
But remember, Ruben had already sent out the tape. I don't understand where, like, how long was he gone that Ruben's like, "There's a tape." I mean, you know, like all this stuff.
Yeah, I don't know Josh's showering habits.
It was just,
I don't know,
very strange scene because he was in there with Amy Smart, and then
Amy Smart, they so. This is what I'm in my head, Ken, how it goes. Josh and Amy wake up. They fuck again. Josh says, hey, or Beth. Yeah, Josh and Beth fuck. And she probably says, hey, I got to go get ready too because we fucked. And he's like, probably a good idea. So they leave. And then Barry, EL, and Ruben show up. Maybe Ruben came from, I don't know, having his sexual escapade.
He was probably with his girlfriend.
Probably.
He's also a stoner, so that's probably why he didn't take the tape the night before. He took it that morning while they were
because he woke up and he was like, shit, I forgot to do that, and Josh isn't here right now, and like, I'm going to do it now so he can't see it when I come back.
It just seemed like very forced.
I agree because what I will agree, I don't know how Barry gets on there. At the end,
like so many things happen in between. Like Barry had to have.
So then Barry must have come first after Josh and Beth left, and before EL and Ruben showed up and said, "Oh, I'm gonna fucking see what I can. What does this thing do if I do this? And I see myself on TV, and I'm gonna touch my butt on."
The timeline is Ba-boom. So odd there because it almost seems like it's like a 4 hour gone. You know,
I agree that now. Looking back on it, there is a little bit of timeline discrepancy, but it was the year 2000.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call it discrepancy. I would just say it's a very tight window to fit a lot of that in. You know what I mean?
It was just really, I mean, because it is this weird video. I mean, I didn't have a video player. I didn't buy one until later, you know?
Yeah.
And then I only had it for a year or two because they were obsolete within the year that I bought it, you know? But to have to deal with the tape because you have the camera, you have to put it into the tape. You know, the tape doesn't go for everybody out there. These little video cameras that we had, they had these tiny little tapes in them. Then you had to somehow put them onto the larger tapes.
Yes.
So I don't even know how you do that.
An audio and visual. It would be the white, red, and yellow out from the camera into the VCR. You put the blanket to the VCR. You hit record on the VCR, and then you hit play on the camera.
So all that would have had to be done also.
Uh-huh.
So that's another thing.
Well, that always happens, probably.
Because, I mean, with mine, we just plugged the actual camera into the TV. That's how we watched it. We didn't put it on a tape. So my whole thing was, how did it get onto the tape? In all this time, you know, there's just so much stuff. It didn't make any sense to me. Even back then, it didn't make sense to me.
Well, Todd Phillips, if you're listening to this,
please explain. Please explain yourself, sir.
amateurmoviereviewhour@gmail.com and tell us how that works. Thank
you.
But when the tape is played, after Josh tells them that everything was videotaped, he begins to panic because the tape that is playing is not of Beth and Josh having sex.
And I love these kind of scenes where their eyes start, like, you know, when the gears are going.
Yes.
When you see noticeable eyes, they get wider and excited. That's me. I get excited over trauma and people's bullshit. I'm a psycho.
I don't know what I would have done in this position. I would like to say that I would not be the type of person who'd be like, yeah, you want to see what I did last night with this girl who hasn't given her
consent
to allow me to play this. 2000s,
dude. Consent wasn't a word back then, bro.
I know.
This is the early days when nobody cared about that stuff.
Yes.
And so we have to look at it from the mindset of the pre 2010.
She started the recording as well.
Yes.
It wasn't him.
But not for everyone.
Yes, exactly.
She didn't say that.
Well,
true,
that's
but
also
it's,
true.
But can
nope. Sorry, bud. You press record.
A person doesn't have to say don't show this to people in order for it to be known that you shouldn't be showing what we're doing together intimately to other people.
It was before the days of the revenge porn laws.
Yes, yes. I'm
which are stupid.
As I prefaced, I said I don't know what I would have done in his position, because peer pressure is a thing, and mm-hmm. people will act differently and against themselves because of peer pressure.
It didn't seem like it took a lot, though, to convince him. Exactly. He was just kind of like, okay.
Yes, yes. And that was like, well, you're a little shitty there, Josh. Now panic has set in, and Josh is unsure what to do. The phone rings, and it is Tiffany. When Josh finds out that the tape of him and Beth having sex has been sent out, he panics. Elle asks what Josh has been internalizing. The sex tape was sent to Tiffany. The phone rings, and it is Tiffany, explaining that she's been with her family because her grandpa died. Regret is painted across Josh's face. Josh wants to drive to Austin, which is 1,800 miles from Ithaca. EL suggests flying, but they're broke college kids. So they go to the only guy they know, Kyle, played by DJ Qualls.
This was his big one. He was like, here I am.
The reason why they choose Kyle is because he's got a car.
How is he the only person they know with a car?
I know.
That's bizarre.
I don't understand that either. I will only take a very uneducated guess, and I don't know, they're in Ithaca? I know it's in New York.
I
don't know any more than that.
And this isn't the Ithaca College from New York, though.
This is a fictional college.
Isn't it somewhere else? Was it in a different state?
I don't know.
It's East Coast, South somewhere.
I think it's supposed to be. I think it's supposed to be set in Ithaca, but there is no Ithaca College. This might be on the campus of the real college in Ithaca, but the college itself name is the fictional.
I wasn't
name.
Sure if they college. Were if it was supposed to be, you know, like a fictional, like Springfield is in different, you know. Wasn't sure if they were supposed to be someplace a little close, somewhere else.
The only reason why I believe it is still set in New York is because they have to pass through Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. West Virginia.
Oh, that's right.
Like, so that's what leads me to believe it's in New York. The university itself is the name is a fake. It's not a real name.
It's right in a major city, so it seems like everybody would need a car to get around.
Sure. And still, they only knew Kyle.
They only knew the one kid.
I feel like EL probably could have found somebody else to do it because of who
EL,
looked like he was the party guy. Everybody knew who EL was.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a blind school there in Ithaca that he could have jacked a bus from?
Yeah, that was very strange. Well, they needed the car. They needed to bring the DJ Qualls on the road.
Yes. I understand why it was Kyle that they knew. Kyle wants to call his dad, but Josh convinces him not to. And instead, he challenges Kyle to be his own person and join them on the road trip. Reuben and Barry discuss the care of the constrictor after Barry declines to join the road trip. Austin, Massachusetts? Barry is super thrilled that he gets to feed the constrictor. The road trip begins. So as I was watching this Ford Taurus in a very like light blue color, I was reminded of a time where I had a sexual encounter in a very not, it was not a Taurus. It was a Ford Tempo.
A Tempo.
Yes.
My grandmother had a Tempo and I used to drive it. I don't think it was me though.
I know it wasn't you. I know. I was in Gilbert.
Oh, you were in Gilbert.
Yes.
I briefly drove my grandma. Terrible cars.
Discontinued
very quickly. It was a terrible car.
So this prompted me to bring up a question. Car sex? Any of you guys had car sex?
Yeah.
What car? What kind of car?
Minivan.
Okay.
Back of a Jeep, Cherokee.
Jeep Cherokee.
Some Pontiac something.
A Sunfire?
No, it wasn't Carrera? Sunfire. I don't remember.
Ooh, okay.
And then...
you tell me. I wasn't there.
I don't remember. All right. I think there's another one, but I can't remember.
Megs, do you care to answer?
Probably way back in the day when I was a youngin'.
Sure.
But... Oh,
any memorable car?
No.
Okay. All right.
I'm a tall girl. It's that, you know, nothing fun ever happens in a car for a tall girl. It was I'm assuming it was more like trying and nothing, you know, like trying to wrangle around a uncomfortable backseat. So I don't think that really ever flu when I was, you know.
Okay.
I think it's something I saw in the movies and I thought that would be cool, but.
When it comes to actual practice, you're like, fucking damn it.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
All right.
Cars aren't built the way they were back in the 1950s when those movies seemed like they were fun,
true,
you know?
True.
Yeah, a boat that you could.
They're like, do you need to recline in the back seat? We've got room for you.
We can do it.
We cut to the present where the tour group is now in the college stadium as Barry ends his story about Josh and Tiffany. However, the group wants to hear the rest of the story. So we cut back to the four guys cruising down the road towards Austin, Texas. EL wants the deets of Josh and Beth's night with each other. EL, Ruben, and Kyle tell Josh of the cheating loopholes. So this is the origin of the pop culture references of... It's not cheating if it's in a different area code, if you're not in the same state. And it's not cheating if you put peanut butter on your balls and let your dog lick it.
Because it's your dog.
Yeah. We cut to Barry kicking in Josh and Ruben's dorm door. Barry has a long moment with the constrictor and mice. Beth comes looking for Josh as Barry is revering the mouse he holds. Barry lets it slip that Josh went to see his girlfriend in Austin, Massachusetts. Do you mean Boston, Massachusetts? Yeah, Boston, Massachusetts. And Beth is not happy. The story is interrupted when one of the parents states that women standing around topless does not make sense. Give you a little context. So in this point in the movie, Beth is in a communal bathroom telling a couple of her friends what happened. And Beth is not topless, but the other women in the bathroom are topless. Barry rudely shushes her to continue the story. Beth's friends talk her into going to Boston to expose Josh. We cut to the guys in Target getting sleeping bags. And EL convinces Kyle to use the credit card that is only to be used in emergencies. On the road, Ruben says that a shortcut will save them 5 hours, but they soon find out that that is not true as they come across a collapsed bridge. EL wants to jump the car over the gap, and Ruben is sure they can make it, until EL spits a big glob of mucus over the gap, which further collapses the opposite portion of the bridge. The crew get into the car, buckle up, and EL floors the pedal. They clear the gap and land safely on the other side. Their celebration is soon cut short as the wheels fall off the car. Kyle has a meltdown, Josh panics, and as the group walks away, Ruben tries to explain it's only the wheels when the car explodes. We cut to Beth on a bus talking about her feelings with a fellow bus rider.
Is anyone concerned about Beth's mental state here?
That's a big jump to go. She had a lot of feelings.
A one knife stand with this guy, and she jumps on a bus. Who wants to ride a bus?
Well,
unless you absolutely have to, and she's gonna go like on a major little trip to go track down this guy she had a one night stand with, who she's been pining for a while. But that was even strange because I didn't get that either.
I agree. It is a long way to go. Without having some type of real intense feelings for Josh, to say I'm going to go to Boston to tell his girlfriend that he cheated on her with me.
I just didn't see any real chemistry between them. When she was like really into him, he was kind of like, I have a girlfriend, I don't really care about this Beth girl, the whole time, you know. And it wasn't until he thought his girlfriend broke up with him that he was like, I guess I'll bang Beth. You know, it was kind of like, he just kind of seemed like, whatever. I mean,
yeah,
he was thinking about his girlfriend the whole time because she's so beautiful. She could be a waitress or something, you know,
a vet. She could be a horse surgeon.
She could be an air hostess in the 60s.
But the bus rider, her fellow bus rider, gifts her with the vibrator. So it cuts back to the guys walking down the road at night.
But that was gross too, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you don't share sex
don't
toys.
Don't share your sex toys, especially with a stranger you meet on a bus.
I'm sure that's how you get sexually transmitted diseases.
I'm quite
certain
of it.
This is like 10 years coming off of the big AIDS stuff. So
yeah, you know, we were still like, really close to the AIDS.
It was in the AIDS era still. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, it was. Yeah, it wasn't, I'm not going to speak to knowing what it was in a medical sense, but it was still very prevalent.
Yeah, it was. I kind of had that thing where Todd Phillips was like, girls share dildos and things.
Sure.
You know, share, be fair, you know?
Yeah, that's because two men wrote this movie.
Right. right. They're like, oh, they love to share things like that.
Sure. Look, sharing videos and magazines are different than toys.
Yeah.
Granted, you still know that sometime somebody's just got done whacking off and has touched that object.
I was weird the way she grabbed it with her hand. Sure. She was just like, let me see this with my whole hand. Let me put my whole hand on it.
And the passenger, she's just like, this?
Yeah.
Like in the middle of the aisle where everybody can see?
And it wasn't, she picked it up like it was on the seat next to her or something.
So the group decides to rest at a motel that they come across. The next morning, Ruben goes to the front desk to try and score weed from the desk guy, who is played by Andy Dick. This wasn't peak, right? He was on his way up, right? This was news radio still on, or was this after?
It was still on.
Okay.
Yeah, he was
already. Must have been towards the end.
Yeah, it was towards the end of his stuff. It was right before he started really having a lot of issues in the media.
Okay.
With stuff like that. The big thing was when that other actor from Suddenly Susan killed himself in Vegas when he was on vacation with Andy Dick, and it kind of. That kind of hurt his career, I think, a little bit.
Hartman?
No.
Hartman was murdered. He didn't commit suicide.
Oh, that's right.
It was some guy from Suddenly Susan. I didn't watch that show.
Oh, Suddenly Susan. That's right. Okay.
Yeah, it was a comedic actor or something. I think he went with Andy Dick. They did some drugs and he killed himself.
Hmm.
I don't remember. I just remember like he was being kind of blamed for it.
Sure.
And I think it kind of... I think that hurt his career a lot, and I think that after you don't really see him a lot after News Radio went off the air.
Unsuccessfully being able to score weed, Ruben finds out that the credit card has been maxed out. We cut to Fred Ward and his wife eating a meal somewhere in the United States, and Fred is informed that his credit card is maxed out. He is not happy. We cut back to Ruben and Elle discussing the next steps that they are going to take. Since the credit card is maxed out, EL tells Ruben to keep the other guys busy because he's got a plan. Cut back to Fred being informed by a police officer that Kyle's car has been found. He also tells Fred that Kyle is missing from the university. We cut to EL walking into a school for the blind, where he is greeted by Brenda, played by Mary Lynn Raskob. For those of you who don't know that name, this one might help. Gale the Snail.
Gale the Snail.
Yep.
You got Country Mac and Gale the Snail in one scene.
Oh, that's right. That is right. They're both alumni.
They're both, yeah.
Yeah. He swindles her out of a van. We cut to Ruben, Kyle, and Josh having breakfast. Josh ribs Ruben about the car exploding. Kyle complains about his French toast. So Horatio Sands does what I fear the most, which is putting bodily fluids on my food, but for Kyle, his French toast. Kyle, none the wiser, eats his ass-salted French toast.
That made me so sad. His sweet little face.
EL shows up with a short bus. We get a highway driving montage. They drive through West Virginia, Kentucky. EL and Kyle bond a little when EL tells Kyle to stand up for himself. It is here Kyle reveals that his father is very strict. We cut to Barry dropping a mouse into the constrictor vivarium. Barry is impatient and taps on the glass. We cut to the bathroom break. What is that sound?
That's his stupid toy that he carries around in his pocket.
One of those pets? Tamagotchis?
Got a Grogu Tamagotchi here.
All right, so we're gonna have we'll have
it's
some
a guest
sounds.
Star. It's a guest star.
We'll have some sounds every now and then.
He's a moody little fucker.
Keep it in your pocket.
It was in my pocket.
Cut to the bathroom break. So Kyle had asked EL to stop for the bathroom break, and that's when they have their conversation, and EL tells him to stand up for himself. And then we cut to Barry, where he was dropping the mouse in the constrictor. Barry was impatient. Then we cut back to them actually stopping for the bathroom break, and EL is telling Josh that Beth is better for him than Tiffany.
That's right.
And Josh goes to call his professor to see if he can get a couple more days. And Jacob answers the phone and pretends to be the professor.
Mm-hmm.
Josh asks for a couple of days of extension.
A little appropriation Jacob, voice there, too.
Yeah. Josh pretending to be
hello there.
Tells, you could have a couple of days of extension, but obviously we as the audience know that that's a lie, that Jacob has set him up. So we're back at the site of the car explosion, where Fred promises his wife that he'll find whoever is responsible for the destruction of Kyle's car. Beth has arrived in Boston to confront Josh, except she confronts the wrong Tiffany. Smash cut to wrong Tiffany, destroying the shit out of her boyfriend's car as Beth watches. I don't think Beth fully paid for her part in destroying two individuals' lives.
Nope. In vehicle.
Yes, yes.
All she had to do was say, hey, sorry, wrong guy. Take off really fast after that. But hey, say, oops.
Yep. So when Tiffany sees, or when Beth sees that Tiffany's boyfriend is not Josh, she leaves without telling them what happened. Back on the bus to Ithaca, Todd Phillips has his creepy foot guy cameo. Like, he got real close.
You got a toe in the mouth.
Did he get a toe in the
mouth? Yeah, he got a toe in the mouth.
Like, That's gross. Like, no. I'll only put feet in my mouth if I know they've just been washed.
Yeah, you got to be like in the tub.
Yep.
Then you obviously don't have a foot fetish, sir.
Nope.
Fucking half-assing it.
Like maybe a jacuzzi. Okay. I don't
dirty
know.
Dirty toesies, man.
I'm experimental.
Fresh out the socks.
No, man. There's so much bacteria going on in there.
Yeah. Slurp it down.
Gross.
It's like a toe Cosmo. A little cranberry juice on it. Some Contro.
Back with Barry, he's still trying to coax the constrictor to eat. We cut back to the group of guys.
Now that scene reminds me the most of it because he's just doing his. He's just like ding. Yeah. Release the fury. Yes. I remember that so explicitly, like. It's just fucking great. That's Tom Green right there.
If you were high or like tripping, like you took some hallucinogens or some mind altering stuff, like that's the type of shit that you'd be like, yeah. Fucking mind blowing. He's such a great artist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's comedian. Yeah, he was. But Tom Green, let me just say this. If you watch this movie and you're interested in Tom Green, he does podcasts now, but he had a show on MTV and it was just ridiculous. It was great. You can find a lot of that stuff. Just do a little dive if you feel like it. I'll say that much.
Yeah. Get a little green.
Get a little green around the gills.
Yeah. Did anybody notice that Andy Dick was reading a magazine with Drew Barrymore on the cover?
I did not. No, I did not.
That was in the trivia. I saw that.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty funny.
Mm-hmm. Because somehow she was gross enough to have sex with Tom Green. I just can't stand Tom Green. I don't know what you guys... Ugh.
I didn't say I wanted to sleep with him. I just think he's a funny comedian.
I don't think he's funny. I don't. Man. Like, I thought he was one of the better parts of this movie, but that's not saying a whole lot. I thought he did. He did steal some scenes, but...
Yeah.
But he always, like, no matter what, he's always one of those guys who goes overboard. And it's like, he takes it too far. It's kind of boring after a while. It's like, it was kind of funny the first, and then you're like, stop. You're boring me now.
He's like an Andy Kaufman that just kind of pounds a joke into the ground where people either enjoy that or they don't.
Yeah.
He's like the little kid who does something kind of funny. You start laughing and then the kid keeps doing it and you're like, stop.
Diminishing returns.
He's standing on the counter shitting in a bowl.
This guy real
laughed. You laughed. You guys both laughed though.
Sure.
Yeah. That's comedy. Ta-da.
Oh.
So we cut to the group arriving at the Shikai, or I think I fucked that first one up, but I know it's Kai. The XI, it's like G or Chi, might be Chi Kai.
The fraternity.
Yeah. Which is a black fraternity.
Is it Zai Kai? I think it's Zai Kai.
Okay.
Or Kai Zai, one of the two.
I know the CHI is Kai. Yeah. I know that one. I don't recall what the XI pronunciation
is. That's I, yeah.
Okay. But that is a nationally black, or known as a national black fraternity.
That seems hilarious. Yeah, I loved it.
I love it. It's great. Ruben gets them in because he knows the handshake, and they're invited to stay for dinner. It doesn't take long for the dinner to get awkward. Some of the frat members approach the group with a Ku Klux Klan outfit and accuse Kyle of having it in his possession. The group tries to defend themselves verbally, but the frat members aren't having any part of it. Kyle passes out when the frat members threaten to kill Kyle. When he has regained consciousness, it is revealed that it's all a joke. The frat and the road trip crew party it up. Kyle has a time of his life. He's drinking, bullshitting, dancing. He has also garnered some attention from a female partygoer. Kyle and his admirer flirt and then get to fucking. The next morning, Kyle is seemingly much more confident.
Grabs on that dong.
Back on the road, EL wants more deets from Kyle about last night. And Kyle gives him the details. He holds up the panties that she gave him. Ruben informs Josh that the road trip won't continue if they don't have any money. Hold on. Ruben informs Josh that the road trip won't continue because they don't have any money. We cut to the interior of a sperm donation center. The nurse has some qualifying questions, which ends up excluding Ruben and Kyle. Josh and Elle are shown to their donation rooms. Elle requests different porn, but the nurse replies they are limited. Elle then asks the nurse for help, and he soon finds out that his perception of help was quite different than hers. Josh can hear Elle from his room as Elle is getting fingers up his butt to milk his prostate, and Elle has found his new erogenous zone. We cut to the present, where a parent asks if that is true. Barry informs her that it is, as his hand rests upon her leg, and her son looks on in disgust. Like, I think he verbally says something. I don't recall. We cut back in time to Beth back at Ithaca as Jacob follows her. Cut to Barry still trying to get the constrictor to eat. Beth confronts Barry for lying to her, but we know that he didn't. Barry tells Beth that Josh went to Austin because of her, that he really likes her. Jacob surprises Beth when he reveals that Josh will fail because he made it so. An unaware Barry, with his hand still holding the mouse in the vivarium, is attacked. Some slapstick hilarity ensues with Barry and the constrictor, and it ends with the constrictor wrapped around Jacob's neck. We cut to the group lip-syncing Twisted Sister on their way to Barry's grandparents' house to stay the night. Back at the motel, the front desk guy, Andy Dick, is forced into giving answers to Fred. Back at the grandparents' house, Grandpa complains about his Viagra to Ruben. And the both of them have an existential conversation as they split a joint. Grandpa is so stoned that he hears Jimmy Kimmel the dog speak. And this was Jimmy Kimmel during his heydays of the Man Show.
Man Show.
The movie cuts to Tiffany with a couple of her friends in their dorm room. In an attempt to cheer up Tiffany, Carla decides to play the tape that Josh has recently sent her. Carla pops in the tape as the three of them gather around the TV to watch Josh. The tape plays, and it is the interview of Josh before Beth and Josh have sex. The tape plays as Beth walks into frame. Tiffany is angry, sad, and then she vomits. Josh wakes up from another nightmare about Tiffany. The group leaves Barry's grandparents' house and arrive to the University of Austin. When the group gets to the dorm front desk, the front desk guy is giving out web address, I think, for Star Wars Episode 2 spoiler site. Because he is talking about Episode 2. I'm guessing it's Star Wars. I don't know if there's any reason for that. It just fits in the right time frame.
That's exactly what he was doing.
Okay. Yeah. Josh asked the front desk guy if he knows Tiffany and replies room 109. What did you make of that reply? Do you think he knew because he either knows her, wants to know her, or has known her?
Guys like that, it seems like he knew where all the girls lived.
Okay.
You know, I know where all the ladies are. Well, also, in that particular dorm room, it seems like the mailboxes are right down there. Yeah. So he might have to deal with that stuff all the time, okay. putting mail away into the boxes. I don't know.
Yeah, I was curious.
I kind of grazed over. Like, I didn't pay too much attention to that part as much as I did so many other things that annoyed me. But yeah, I mean, I think it was almost just to make the scene
move
faster.
Okay, all right. Josh asked for her mail, but he won't be able to pick it up if he doesn't have a key. So the group does their best to try and intimidate the guy, except they weren't expecting him to be a wrestler. Josh is able to escape him and grab the mail with the help of Ruben and EL. Campus security arrives with pepper spray. Fred arrives to rescue his son, and then Tiffany arrives. Fred and Kyle discuss their differences. I guess that's a good way to say it. They just yell at each other. Tiffany and Josh retreat to her room, where they talk about what college is, what college should be, in the best times or now. Beth calls Tiffany's phone to inform Josh about Jacob's evil plan. In the background, you can see Tiffany play the tape, but Josh doesn't have anything to worry about, as Barry has taped over the incriminating part with his butt play, just mooning the TV and touching and slapping his butt. Back on the bus, we learn that Tiffany and Josh mutually break up as the group is heading back to Ithaca. Josh laments that he's going to fail his ancient philosophy class. Well, wouldn't you fucking know it? The stoner, Ruben, can teach him ancient philosophy in 46 hours. Another driving montage. When the group arrives at college, Josh is already late to his midterm, but he rushes to the class anyways. Before Josh could make it into the classroom, he is stopped when he is met by a bomb disposal robot.
Robot, man.
Apparently apparently a bomb threat was called in to delay the midterm. Josh is able to take his midterm in his crusty, sweaty clothes. Beth catches up with Josh, where she reveals that she called in the bomb threat. The couple make out as a crescendoing orchestral music plays. The camera spins around them and then zooms in on Josh's head. And when the camera zooms out and continues spinning around the couple, it turns out that it is back in the present. And Barry and the female, and the parent, the female parent, are making out in front of the tour group. Her son watches. Barry closes out his story with updates on Beth and Josh. They are now amateur porn creators. Jacob became a cult leader and died because he was the only one to drink his poison. Ruben creates the ultimate weed strain, all high and undetectable by drug screening. And EL meets a nice girl who doesn't mind milking his prostate. Kyle, with his girlfriend Rhonda, reconnect with Fred. Barry receives good jobs from some of the tour group. Barry and the female parent continue to make out in the quad.
In a Tom Green way.
Yep.
Yeah.
Roll credits. I really hated the soundtrack of this song, of this movie.
Yeah.
They didn't do anything with it. It wasn't anything exciting. No. It should have been a lot more late 90s, early 2000 pop alternative stuff that they could have done so much more. What was there, a little bit of Smash Mouth, I'm assuming, because that's what everybody always throws a little Smash Mouth in.
Yeah, I don't recall. I did look.
It was not memorable.
I think the only song they paid for that was like a bigger one would have been the Dee Snider
Twisted Sister.
Twisted Sister song.
Yeah. That may have been the most expensive one. The Eels, Buck Cherry, Supergrass, Ween, Kid Rock, Jungle Brothers, Run DMC, but that's also another one that was paid for. Well, they're all paid for. John Spencer Blues Explosion, Ash, Minnie Riperton. Yeah, I recall the name Eels, but I don't fucking recall any of their shit that they do. I was curious as to how much money this made.
Oh, not a lot.
It did pretty well.
It did. It did really well. Yeah. It was an estimated budget. You guys want to take a guess? If you know.
I don't know.
Okay, you want to take a guess at the budget?
The budget? I would think like the budget was probably like, well, back then, I don't know, 80
ooh,
million?
Ooh. Really high. You're really high, Megs.
That is pretty high. Yeah. I guess it didn't have anybody. They weren't paying anybody or paying for anything in the 60.
You were pretty close. 16 million.
Oh, 16?
16.
I guess things were so much cheaper back then.
Yeah. From what Google is telling me, it also made 15.5 in its opening weekend. So it made like 98% of its budget back in the first weekend.
I don't think the advertising was like it is now, to where when you put a movie out, you're doing like a third to half of the budget.
The film cost is usually about half of what they say the budget is, and the total amount of it includes the marketing. So when you're talking 16, you could potentially say 8 million was on the film and then 8 million was spent in marketing.
Yeah.
Not saying that's always true.
I didn't even think, like, I wasn't even really thinking because, yeah, back then, 80 million was a big, a much bigger budget film.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at the cast, all you had was,
Stifler was.
Stifler was, yeah,
he was the
only,
he was the big name.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And, well, Brecken had Clueless. So sure. Brecken was the kind of the big Clueless guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the other two were unknowns.
When did Amy Smart do the football movie?
Right around then.
It was right around the same time, right?
I want to say 99.
I want to say
98 or 99. Yeah. Varsity Blues. Yeah.
But I mean, she was not
99.
A big part of,
yes, 99.
Because what's her name was the bigger focus because she did the whipped cream bikini.
Yeah, the whipped cream was the more important part of that movie.
Yeah. Allie Larder.
Yeah.
But Allie, you know, Amy Smart got more out of that movie. Allie Larder, I didn't really see her again until I saw her a couple of times, but Heroes was her big next break. She was in.
That was her real role, though.
That was her big role.
Yeah. She was in Final Destination.
She was working. Yeah, she did Final Destination. She was in. the Reese Witherspoon little lawyer movie, Legally Blonde. Yeah. She was in that movie. Was it Drive Me Crazy? Which one was the one with Melissa Joan Hart?
That's with Adrian. What's the name of the guy?
Yeah,
the guy
she was
from,
the girlfriend. She was the
guy from Entourage.
Yeah, she was Adrian's girlfriend in that. So she was doing well. It wasn't until Heroes, though, that she had like her own kind of leading type role, whereas it seems like Amy Smart was getting all the female lead movies right after that.
Yeah.
But she had the Girl Next Door look.
Yes.
Allie Larder was the hot chick.
Yeah.
And the Girl Next Door is usually going to win out on the roles, I think.
Road Trip also went on to make, in the U.S., a gross of $68.5 million.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And then worldwide, it went on to do $119 million.
I think it did really well on VHS.
Oh, yeah. I bet.
Yeah.
I just have some just basic numbers, nothing that deep. Josh, you want to give your final reaction? Yeah, final reaction and rating.
It still holds up to me. It's a funny movie. It's a fun, you know what I mean? It goes by quick. It's not one of those movies that takes it super seriously. Yeah. It's a little bit of a love you, fuck you story, which is nice. And just saying, hey, guess what? Long distance relationships don't work a lot. Don't be stupid. Just move on. But any which way. Am I rating this movie right now?
No, not right now. Okay. We'll go around and give final reactions, and then we'll rate it after that.
Okay.
Yeah. Mags, what final reactions?
I did not care for this film.
Okay.
I thought it was pretty boring. I think I thought that when it first came out.
Okay.
So when it first came out, I was a lot younger than
this
I am. Clearly, I was
Tom
a lot younger.
Green hater.
Nah, you know, I liked
you're
Tom Green back
Tom
then.
Green.
I watched the Tom Green show back then. I think it moved too fast. It was. I want a movie to move fast. I don't want it to be super boring and slow, but at the same time, I thought the character development was super not even existent. And the characters themselves, what little there was, they were boring. Everybody in the movie to me was just boring. And it just, that was it.
I think
Euro Trip was 10 times better than this movie. And I didn't even like Euro Trip that much. But at least it had, you know, it had a few funny scenes that were memorable, whereas I didn't find anything memorable about this movie.
I believe the only real character development that anybody really went through.
Qualls.
Yes,
yeah,
was Qualls. That was it. Like from the beginning to the end, he was the only one who started out as I'm going to do what my dad says because I don't want to make him mad to fuck it. I'm my own man. And if he doesn't respect that, then he can fuck off.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, Josh didn't really make anything. There wasn't anything. Like,
he went from one girl to another.
We knew that from the beginning that he was going to go with Beth anyways.
Yeah.
We already knew that he was going to end up that way.
I thought it was weird that they were so obsessed with each other that they were sending out videos and he was crying all the time and he was having weird dreams, but he was just fine with them. You're like, okay, I have another girl on the lineup. So, we're fine. We can break up.
Yeah.
You know, if they did the post scene on him, you know, like your little blurb on what they did, it should have been once Amy or what's her name got her job,
Beth
got her job, she moved to this city. They tried to make a long distance relationship, and guess what? It didn't work again. He ended up fucking some random TA girl because he was still in school, you know, or some vet tech.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
and just made him that guy that never learns. That's the thing. There is character development, but there's also. Sometimes you need that. Somebody that's just stuck in their ways and stupid. That's why you learn from it as the watcher.
Yes.
You go like, oh, that's stupid. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
You know, just somebody so stuck in their ways and stupid.
I don't know if anybody watching this movie was learning.
I learned a lot.
I don't think it was a learning kind of movie.
Every movie has a lesson.
Yeah. I think most people watching this movie were just smoking pot.
Don't take
like,
the but they learned don't take the fucking the shortcut.
Don't take
True.
The shortcut.
True.
Yeah.
Don't try to jump the bridge.
Yeah.
I mean, and they
don't
should have alluded
keep your shoes
more
off on a bus.
I'll do that all day.
That too. Yeah.
I'll get my toes sucked while I'm sleeping. Whatever.
Oh,
but no, they should have alluded towards the how creepy it is just to be out in the middle of the woods. And stuck out there. They really didn't do that.
Yeah, that would that.
You know,
I wonder if they maybe had that, but they just
was a
cut it
or something.
Yeah,
they didn't have time for that.
I think that would have
way
been,
too many stops to make.
Sure. It
they
could,
had to stop
it
at
could
the
have.
Black fraternity in the grandparents' house. They couldn't have a wood.
Yeah, they
scene.
Could. They could have cut the grandparents' house totally.
Well, you got dad boner and dog.
Yeah, the grandpa boner was actually funnier than a lot of the stuff in the movie.
Sure, that was the only reason to go to grandpa's house was so that you could show this old man had a boner and he knocked over his statue.
People love old man boners and they love high old people.
And it's also they love when old ladies go, "Honey, your boner."
Yeah.
Yeah, people are like, "Oh, grandma. Oh, grandpa." Sure. Like, they just love that. They think it's so great.
Because now you picture them fucking.
I did not. Until now. Yeah, thanks.
Why did he's had a boner? He took a pill. What else would he be doing with it?
Grandpa also had a big dick too. I would say a long dick. I don't know if it was a big dick.
Oh my goodness! It's not necessarily girthy, but yeah.
It stuck out quite a ways.
I bet them balls were droopers
There's
too.
There's a lot of grandparent talk right now. We don't need any of this.
I thought this movie was still funny. The jokes. I'd say 75% of them hold up.
Is it a great movie? No, it's entertaining. That's the whole point.
Yeah, it didn't set out to do anything new. It may have been one of the, I'm not gonna say a pioneer. It may have been one of the first, like in the 2000s, to show that a rated R comedy can still do well. I know it wasn't the first of its kind.
Yeah, I know what you mean, though, because the TNA was something that kind of started disappearing in the 90s that was prevalent in the 80s and the 70s. And
the Pie movies brought that back.
Yeah, the Pie. And this was supposed, they were hoping for Pie money on this. They wanted a Pie franchise on this.
Yeah.
And that was kind of their, happen. It did not happen.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it didn't take off like the American Pie series did. However, this by itself did great. And he went on to go make more classics, as we said. Old school, The Hangover. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
I enjoyed it. I was not mad at having to watch this movie again. Josh, you got a rating for this movie?
I do. All it's right. gonna be 3.5 fingers up the ass.
Oh,
3.5 prostate fingers. Max, how about yourself?
I'm gonna give it one short bus.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. I'm gonna give it three mice. Give it three mice.
Three mice.
Three blind
mice.
Yep.
See how they run.
Oh, that's fucking,
do it creepily. Dude, is that good?
That was pretty creepy. That's a nightmare inducing.
Fingers or whatever. All right. And that brings us to the next segment, which is our next movie. It is my choice. It is the movie The Card. From 1977, starring James Brolin. You can rent it on Amazon, probably some other places there where you can rent movies as well. But yeah, if you'd like to watch that and catch back up with us next time, that'd be cool.
I'm surprised, but not about your pick, but I think there's some movies that have a famous man with a mustache. That we're ignoring.
I know.
Barry. Famous.
I'm picking up what you're putting down, but I think they're too obvious.
Yeah,
I'm talking about Gator.
Yeah,
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Talking about Gator.
Just that know. Movie particular. I was thinking of the man as a whole, and like we could
think
dive
about that
into.
Man's hole.
Yeah. That could be an entire genre of its own.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm. Oh yes.
Maybe I'll do that next.
Maybe
we will. Maybe we'll take a little summer detour.
Ooh, maybe a little favorite Burt movie.
Yeah.
Like a little. I do like Audibles because I play football, you know?
Yeah.
I got the football body.
Yep.
Not the fast guys. Not those ones. Heavy breathers. That's what they called us linemen. Get the heavy breathers over there on the left field. Just fucking snorting and The Car, though. Okay. And that is available for
rent. You can rent it on Amazon Prime and I believe some other streaming platforms. I would have to Google that. I can do that as we come to our next section. Give me the juice. Yes. What we are currently watching or something, a new movie we've seen or a book or an album. I don't know. It could be anything. Megs, what you got?
Well, last week I watched Fresh.
Ooh.
Have you seen Fresh?
I've seen it two times.
Good.
Fucking great
movie.
Yes.
That was something I did not, you know, I was watching the previews. I'm like, I'm kind of interested. The previews look great. But do I want to get into something that kind of sounds a little like a little yucky or a little scary?
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. I mm-hmm. love that movie. Yeah, gross. There are some gross parts about it, but it was really well done. It yes. looked gorgeous. It yes. was just a really well shot movie. And yeah, I'm going to watch it again eventually. I don't like to watch movies too close together. I like to kind of be excited about them again. But
yeah.
It kind of reminded me of Promising Young Woman, not okay. in not necessarily the movie itself, but the theme of the yeah. movie, the strong woman theme. You know, I'm not a yeah. huge feminist movie chick, but both of those are feminist films, yes. and both are incredibly well done. And so yes. there was something about that that I enjoyed. Yeah, check out Fresh.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's the thing right now. I've been trying to tell people about it because I love it. I thought it was great.
Yeah, it is one of the best cold opens and one of the longest ones that...
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like that, oh, is, yeah. that is so fantastic. You don't even realize yeah. it until it happens. You're
then
like,
it happens.
Holy shit, that was a fucking goddamn cold open for yeah. like fucking the
half
first
an hour.
Act.
Yeah, a half an hour. Yeah. It was like, wait, the movie's just now starting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's I great. It's great.
Yeah, I liked it.
Josh, how about you? What you been watching or listening or reading?
So I got a 2-4, and I literally watched these all yesterday.
Okay.
So I watched Tulsa King.
All right.
With
I want to hear what you think about that.
With Stallone.
Yeah.
Interesting. It's
it is a mob thing, right?
It's mob. It's more convict-y, you know, okay. and just like, you know, like, I don't know. It's there's a whole mafia story to it. It's interesting, but it's very jumbled. But it's interesting. It's worth a watch. And then I watched Knuckles.
The Sonic movie?
The Sonic movie. So this is not a movie, it's a series. It's a six-part okay. limited thing.
Okay.
Idris Elba plays the Knuckles guy. It's the little red guy that punches shit. He's got like these spiky knuckles. And he takes on, was it Paul? Paul something, anyways. He's in that stupid Mindy show.
I don't know who's on that stupid Mindy show. Paul F. Tompkins, Paul. I don't know any other Pauls. He's the only Paul I know.
Adam Pauly, sorry.
Pauly. Okay. Adam Pauly. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, okay.
Adam Pauly. Kid Cudi's in it. I don't know why that happened. That was fucking stupid. But anyways,
bringing the kid.
Here's the one cool thing about that I'll say is they kind of make Knuckles, like Jewish. Because the Adam Pauly character is Jewish, and they kind of bring him in, and like they have a Sabbath with him and shit. This is very like in the midst of everything that's going on right now with this, you know, pro Palestine, like Israel stuff like that. It's very interesting. They put this out because it's a Paramount Plus thing.
Uh huh.
But he literally there's you know Cary Elwes is his fucking dad. Like it's weird. There's a lot of weird shit in this. It's very kiddie, but it has a lot of notes about like. Abandonment and also like family shit that happens, you know, like just the sibling rivalries and stuff. The sister from Edie Patterson from
I'm drawing a blank.
Hold on. She's a gemstone. She's the gemstone.
Okay.
She's in it and she's just a fucking like psychopath, like a riot, like normal. But they have the, I don't know. It's interesting. Like you don't see a lot of that now, and it came out of nowhere. But they were kind of like. Indoctrinating a fictional character into like Judaism or something like that. It was very interesting, but I was like, okay. Like I said, is this forced? I was like, I don't know. But anyways,
did it make you feel special as a Jewish man?
No, it didn't. Nothing does. That's the trick of being Jewish. But those were two things I watched, and I watched them like back to back to back because I think I got off of work and I was just couldn't sleep, of course, because I don't. But that was interesting. So if you have a chance, check them out. They're not bad. It's what's his name? The Hound from Game of Thrones is in it. He's like the main bad guy.
I always like to see him in things because he's just so great. He's a fun actor.
They don't really let him out. It's just like they did in Jumanji, the second one, you know, where he's kind of like this thing and you kind of like it's just him
I forgot about
it's
that.
It's just him being like semi-cunty, mm-hmm. you know, just like, And he does say cunt a lot in that, but he doesn't say it in this, which is kind of a, you know.
Yeah, well, it's an American movie.
If I wrote a movie, and I'm from America, there would be lots of cunts in it.
Oh, I believe it. I believe it.
Yeah. If it was ifs and buns was cunts and candies, we'd all have a Merry Christmas.
That's right.
That's not what they say, but I feel like that's a good one. What about you, Trevor? What do you got?
I've been watching a show on Apple TV called Sugar.
Oh, yeah. My dad told me about that. He's really into it.
The biggest twist just happened.
My dad did not tell me about that.
Yeah, I know that.
The biggest twist, I'm not going to spoil it for people, just happened this past episode, and it blew my fucking mind.
Oh.
It went from this neo-noir type of film to this neo-noir film that's now just gone fucking haywire.
I'm going
to
get on that show.
The first four episodes, because I think it's on five now, they're entertaining. You know, it's classic neo-noir stylistically done, right. Written, acted, plot until the end of the fifth episode. Okay. And now I'm really intrigued to see what fucking happens in tomorrow's episode with what they did. It is really, really good.
What is that streaming on?
Apple TV.
Apple, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why I haven't started it yet, because I need to get Apple.
Yeah. You may be able to find some like 3 months of free subscription stuff through maybe your phone service. I'm unsure.
Yeah, then you could watch Lasso. You could watch Monarch.
Those are all the reasons we were going to get it for the summer, because we wanted
all
to watch some stuff.
All the reasons.
So if you've not seen it and you've been waiting a while, check it out.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
I'm on it.
And don't forget, guys, hit the theaters up. What's in there right now?
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah. The next part of the story. I feel like they ended at this. I think this is like all this. This is where the Charlton Heston ship comes down. And I don't think they need to do that.
Yeah. I don't think so. They don't. If they do that in the end of this movie, that'd be cool. Like, it'd be like, all right, cool. Brings it around full circle. Like, I see where you started. You went back even before the crash landing, which they did in the original series anyways. They had a time travel portion to it, to where they went back to the, like, 1960s and fucking the individual who had helped Charlton Heston escape from there. Like, I watched it with my mom. It was one of those series that we shared.
I'm not going back to the movie until they have a Invisible Man 2 for me to see.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
That's when I will return to theaters.
With or without
gotta have her. The amazing Moss or whatever was it?
Yeah.
I don't remember her first name.
Carrie.
Is it Carrie Moss?
No.
I don't think it is.
No, Carrie Moss is a very different actress.
Caitlin?
Kate Moss is a model.
Yeah.
It's that Moss. Or Elizabeth Moss.
Elizabeth, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a terrible movie. That was the last movie I saw in a theater.
Yeah, that was
before the pandemic.
Yeah. Is that the one we made you go to?
That was the three of us went to go see that movie.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Yeah. Hurrah.
So that's what we've been watching, listening to, reading that's new to us. Brings us to our next segment, which is reviews, but we do not have any. Sorry, Josh. And so this is where we leave you. Thank you for listening. If you enjoy what we do, go out there and leave us a review on either Spotify or Apple Podcasts, or email us at theamateurmoviereviewhour@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram at theamateurmoviereviewhour.
And if you believe in life after love, we'd like to hear that as well.
Josh loves Cher.
Who doesn't? I love Cher and sharing.
Sharing Cher.
Ooh. That'd be a good porn.
No. She's fucking like 78 years old.
But she still looks great.
Yeah, so thank you for listening.
I was really gross there, but I didn't. Yeah.
He was looking, he was trying so hard to say something really, well, not to say something gross, and he succeeded.
I'm saying it. It was like her vaginal stuff is just dust now, and it'll just coat your penis in dust.
All right, thank you for listening. I'm Trevor, and I'll check you later.
Good night.
Until don't talk enough, boy.